Thursday the 19th of March, Kof Gimel Adar, Rabbi Yonas and Chodi, Amir al-Akum, part 2.
Okay, good morning. Before we start to part 2, I think it's appropriate to remind ourselves and do a little Chazara, a synopsis of what we covered in part 1. There we established that Amir al-Akum is a Nisa Drabonon. It applies to asking a non-Jew to do a Nisa Zeraita, equally applies to asking a non-Jew to do a Nisa Drabonon. It applies on Shabbos, it applies on Yom Tov, and equally to many other Yisurim Shabbatot. I'd like to add a point that it also includes asking a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos to do a Melacha for us on Shabbos, and also asking a non-Jew to do a Melacha on Shabbos for after Shabbos. All that is included in the basis of Amir al-Akum asking a non-Jew to do a melacha for you on Shabbos. We also covered the point of a remiza b'derech tzivui, which is a hint that includes in it a request for the non-Jew to do the melacha. So any hint that entails a question or a request is included in the actual issa of Amir al-Akum. So just like I may not ask a non-Jew specifically, I may not ask him in a way, I may not mention it to him that I require his help in a way that is a question and a request on his behalf, that he's responding to my request. And included in that is also a physical gesture. You point your hand at the light switch, or you wave at something, or you flick your fingers. Any physical gesture that will also include a request to the non-Jew to do something for you is equally included. However, where it comes on Erev Shabbos for Shabbos, or more relevant probably on Shabbos for after Shabbos, then the remiza, the derech tzivui, is permitted. Okay, so therefore you may say to a non-Jew on Shabbos, why didn't you come to fetch me from my house an hour after Shabbos last week? That is a remiza b'derech tzivui. It's a hint to him to come this week an hour after Shabbos, but it's a remiza, it's on a specific request, and since it's for after Shabbos, the remiza b'derech tzivui is permitted on Shabbos for after Shabbos. However, if you say to a non-Jew, please do me a favor, that is, I can't sleep, please turn the light off, obviously that's a request. Even if you don't say please turn the light off, but you just say please do me a favor, I can't sleep, that is also included, that is a remiza b'derech tzivui, a hint to the non-Jew with a question for him to respond, that is equally forbidden. And then we also mention, what if the non-Jew says to you after you've given him a subtle hint, so he says, so would you like me to turn the light off for you? And we said, obviously you can't say yes. And we considered possible other options that may still be within the category of a remiza without a tzivui. And so, for example, we considered perhaps whether you could say that would be helpful, or I can't tell you what to do, or if you do that, that would solve the problem. Some of those are a grey area, whether you can or you can't. Some poskim allow that.
Dark.
Yeah. So dark here is a statement, a fact. That is permitted. You may mention the fact it's dark here, and then if the non-Jew responds by turning off the light, then that is permitted. Putting on the light will come to in a second. Equally, you could say it's an acholent burning, or it's a waste of electricity. All those are facts about the current situation, and if the non-Jew responds, then he's responding on his own accord, and that does not, that's not included within the issa of Amir al-Akum asking the non-Jew to do something. I didn't ask him, he's doing it on his own accord.
If someone's cold, you can't make use of the heat, possibly.
No, we'll come to that in a second. The second issue, irrespective of asking a non-Jew, the second issue, completely separate, so that would be even if the non-Jew did something on his own accord, there's a second issa, and that is to benefit from a malacha that a non-Jew does for a Jew on Shabbos. That would mean if a non-Jew puts a light on for you, then that is considered to be a direct benefit. If I couldn't do whatever I would like to do now with a light on, if I couldn't do that beforehand, then that is considered a new additional, a new direct benefit. has given me some substantial benefit that I was not able to do beforehand. That is what is considered in halacha to be a benefit from halacha that a non-Jew did. However, if I could do that activity already, but perhaps it was difficult for me, so there was some daylight perhaps in the room and I could read, albeit with some difficulty, but now when the non-Jew puts the light on for me, I can read even better. But since I could do that already, then that is not in halacha considered to be a direct new substantial benefit from the halacha the non-Jew did. It's only an additional benefit of something that I could already do, and that is permitted. In the case of the cholent, where it would be cold and now it's hot, so hot food is considered to be a substantial new benefit. And perhaps we'll see some nafkamina with that today. The other point is that a taking away a preventative from me having a benefit is not considered to be a direct benefit. So that's why we always use the example of switching the lights off, because sleeping is an outcome of having the light turned off, but it's not considered in halacha to be a direct benefit from the melacha that the non-Jew did. It's a indirect benefit. Now that the light's off, I can sleep. So that's why when we consider Amir al-Akum and hinting to a non-Jew, we always have to take into account what will the outcome be, what is the benefit that will be achieved. If it's a new benefit, a direct benefit, then it doesn't help for me to hint to the non-Jew. Even if the non-Jew does it on his own accord, it's forbidden. But if it's only taking away some preventative measures that I can now benefit, or if an additional benefit, then it's permitted to hint to the non-Jew, provided it's not with a request, because that is not considered in halacha to be a benefit from the melacha that the non-Jew did. That is really what we covered last time. Today, Beis Hashem, want to look at the situations where Amir al-Akram is permitted, i.e. where I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to do something for me. And here we have two categories, category of Issa D'Oraisa and category for Issa D'Rabbanan. In what circumstances may I ask a non-Jew to do an Issa D'Rabbanan for me, and in which circumstances may I ask a non-Jew to do an Issa D'Oraisa for me? And I'd like to use an example, the following example. Let's say you have your food for Shabbos on a hot plate, and for some reason there was a power cut in the house, or a child switched off the electricity. What may I do in this situation? May I hint to a non-Jew? May I ask a non-Jew? What are my options? Okay, let's first look at what I'm allowed to do in the case of ask a non-Jew to do an Issa D'Rabbanan for me. Circumstances which halacha permit me to ask a non-Jew to do an Issa D'Rabbanan are the following. First one is a hefsed merubah. The Mechaber says that if there is a tzorech harbe, if there's a great need, I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to do an Issa D'Rabbanan. The Mishnah Berurah passage is like the Monk Avraham, who disagrees with the Mechaber, and a tzorech harbe is not enough. If it's a great need is not enough, I need it in addition to be a hefsed merubah. So there's a great need and that will cause me a financial loss. In those circumstances, I may ask a non-Jew to do an Issa D'Rabbanan. I will come to some examples of that shortly. Secondly, the b'mokum mitzvah. If there is, I'm prevented from fulfilling a mitzvah, I may ask a non-Jew to do an Issa D'Rabbanan. Some poskim, the Ramah brings the shita of the Baal HaOrita. Shita of the Baal HaOrita is that I can even ask a non-Jew to do an Issa D'Oraisa, b'mokum mitzvah. We don't paskin like that. We only allow you to do an Issa D'Rabbanan for the sake of a mitzvah. The example the Shulchan Aruch brings is if you have a shofar which is in a tree and you have to climb up the tree, that would be an Issa D'Rabbanan to climb up the tree on Yom Tov. You may ask a non-Jew to do that. Hachnos Arachim and Oinim Shabbos are included in mitzvah. So if there's a situation of Hachnos Arachim, you have a guest staying with you, and in halacha that doesn't mean a friend that you've invited around to enjoy Shabbos together, but it means that someone who really has nowhere else to be, somebody perhaps from out of town, a guest has nowhere to go, that is considered to be the mitzvah of Hachnos Arachim, and for their benefit, Chazal allowed us to do to ask a non-Jew to do an Issa Drabbanan, to ask a non-Jew to do an Issa Drabbanan for the Tzarech Lachnos Arachim, because that is considered to be a mitzvah. So for example, if you live in an area where there's a Carmelite, let's say, and for one reason or another you don't have enough blankets, or you don't have enough to be able to provide for the needs of the guests, you may ask a non-Jew to bring something from that area, let's say from next door, for the sake of the guest. Similarly, for the mitzvah of owning Shabbos. Owning Shabbos is a mitzvah to enjoy Shabbos, and included in that would be what is in the mainstay of the meals for Shabbos. So including that, we would say, for example, Kiddush, yeah, if you don't have wine, or if you don't have challahs, or the meat, or the mainstay of the meal, and of course, if for you a hot kegel would also be considered to be oinik Shabbos, and without that you wouldn't have the oinik Shabbos, then that would also be a tzorach, what we can include in oinik Shabbos, and for that we'd be able to ask a non-Jew to do an Issa Drabbanan. I'll give an example in a minute. The example is as follows. Now we know that the areas that we live in are generally considered to be a rishis. There's various rishis in that area. We have rishis of rishis around the Raita, we have an area which is a Carmelis, and we have an area which is a rishis ayachid. Rosh Hashanah Deraita is where the 600,000 people go through, or and 60 numbers wide. In Halacha, we consider the areas that we live in to be Rosh Hashanah Deraita, and for that reason, it is in those areas not able to have an Eruv, because in Rosh Hashanah Deraita, it's clear that you can't have an Eruv. However, there is a kula which is brought down in Halacha, and it's quite an unbelievable kula, but it is 100% true, and the Rabbonim do paskin like that. And that is that in the areas that we have today, our streets, they come under a dispute in Halacha whether they are considered to be Rishis Deraisa or Rishis Drabbanan. The Halacha is that although where it comes to me myself caring in those areas, we treat those areas as Rishis Deraisa, however, where it comes to the Issa of Amir al-Akum, asking a non-Jew to do a malacha for me, we treat the areas similar to our streets as areas which are Karmelis, which are only Rishis Drabbanan. That means that although I'm not allowed to carry myself in the street because I treat the street as a Rosh Hashanah Deraita, however, I am allowed to ask a non-Jew to bring something for me if it means carrying it from a neighbor and going through the street, because when it comes to the Issa of Amir al-Akum, we treat our street as Rosh Hashanah Drabbanan. And then we have the heter is a shavus de shavus, that's how it's considered. It's a shavus de shavus b'moka in either hefsa merubah or b'moka mitzvah, where we have two isur drabonim coming together. Number one, it is the amir al-akum itself is the isur drabonim, and number two is that what we're asking the non-Jew to do is also a drabonim. And when it comes to amir al-akum, we are makil and treat certain isur that would otherwise be considered isur deraisa for me, but when it comes to a non-Jew, we're allowed to treat those as isur drabonim. And makar for that is, if you want to look that up, is in Siman Shin Chof Hei Sif Yudalef in the Mishnah Berurah, and in the Sharatim Sif Kotan Yud Gimel, he says that very explicitly, that we can be makil and rely on the poskim that treat these areas as Rosh Hashanah Drabbanan. So that means, if I need something for a guest, or I need something for owning Shabbos, I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to bring it from a neighbor's house, or to take something from my house to a neighbor's house, if those circumstances are true. That doesn't mean I can do it always. Not saying you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to take anything you want into the street. Only in these circumstances, which are a hefsa merubah, and we've covered so far b'makom mitzvah, or included in the hachnosas arachim and owning Shabbos, and I said that would be the mainstay of the meal, not perhaps the salads or desserts or drinks, but the chulans or the meat, the wine or challahs, that would be included on Shabbos, and I would be allowed to ask a non-Jew to do an Issa d'Rabbanan, which means that I could ask a non-Jew to take a pot which has been on the blech, let's say, and now the gas has gone out. I'm allowed to ask him to take it to my neighbor's house, who still has a blech. He'll have to carry it through the street, but that's it for our purposes in Issa d'Rabbanan, and he'll be allowed to put it on the next door neighbor's blech, and provided of course it is still hot, because once it's cooled down, then it's a benefit, and then don't think we'd be able to do that. But if it is, you could bring it back, and then you could ask him to bring it back as well. For sure. Yeah. Okay. Other two examples where I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to do an Issa d'Rabbanan is a tzar gadol.
Would be more simple to ask the guy to put the blech back
on? Okay. We'll come back to that if you don't mind. We'll come back to that in a minute. Okay. We'll come back to that in a minute. The other two examples where I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to do an Issa d'Rabbanan is mokum tzar gadol. So let's say if I have a pain. Not a situation of chole kol haguf, will come to that in a minute, but an ordinary pain, let's say a shoulder pain, I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to do an Issa d'Rabbanan, and if we treat the streets as an Issa d'Rabbanan, like we said, that would mean I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to go and buy some medication from a chemist and bring it back home, because that is an Issa d'Rabbanan, but mokum tzar gadol, it is permitted. The other example would be an Issa d'Rabbanan. So this is Drabona. Yeah. Okay. If we now move on to
the buying of the chemicals.
This is Drabona.
Even the buying.
Even if you pay him after Shabbos,
you're okay. Yeah. Okay. And finally, B'mokum Kovod Abrius, that is another situation where you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do this is Drabona. So for example, if your clothes tear in the street and it's embarrassing for you to walk in the street, you can ask a non-Jew to get something else from home. Or if you have, let's say you're making a kiddush or shalom zacha and you don't have enough drinks and you've forgotten to, and it's embarrassing for you to, everyone's going to come to your house and there's nothing to serve, again, you can ask a non-Jew to do an Issa d'Rabbanan. Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the situation of an Issa d'Oraisa, because we're running out of time. In the case of an Issa d'Oraisa, we have the main two circumstances where I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to do an Issa d'Oraisa. The first is in the case of a Cholesh Ein B'Sakona. A Cholesh Ein B'Sakona is someone who is, his whole body is ill, he's confined to bed. Not, of course, in a situation where there's any sakana for his life, that's obviously permitted, but a cholish ein bo sakana, where there's no danger to life, but he's confined to bed, and he's chole kol haguf, and that would include severe migraine, which affects his whole body, he is treated as a cholish ein bo sakana, and for him I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to do an Issa d'Oraisa. Which would mean that if I could ask a non-Jewish nurse or a non-Jewish helper to do all Issa d'Oraisa, if the chole needs that now, so that would include boiling water, turning on the lights, turning off the lights, calling a doctor, cooking, making telephone calls, all that type of thing, if it's a great need for the chole now, and the cholera is the cholish ein b'sakana, all that is permitted. Second case, situation where we're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do an Issa d'Oraisa is in the case of a mitzvah d'rabim. For an ordinary mitzvah, we said that we don't rely on the shit of the Bala Itur, who allows us to ask a non-Jew even to do an Issa d'Rabbanan for a mitzvah. We don't paskan like that. But where it comes, an Issa d'Oraisa for a, we don't paskan like that, but where it comes to an Issa d'Oraisa, where it comes to a mitzvah d'rabim, there I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to do even a Issa d'Oraisa, which would mean that, for example, if in a shul there is very dark and you can't daven, you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do an Issa d'Oraisa to switch the lights on.
Air conditioning.
Okay, air conditioning. The halacha is that where it comes to the cold, where it comes as hakor choylim etzel hakor, that's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, that where it comes to the cold, hakor choylim etzel hakor, that means we are treated as a choylish embes hakora. And for that matter, children are also categorized as a choylish embes hakora. So if a child needs something, and that would otherwise make him ill, he is treated as a choylish embes hakora. So if he has no food for a child, it's the same situation. So as far as the heating is concerned, we say hakor choylim etzel hakor, which will mean I'm allowed to ask a non-Jew to do an issa deraisa for the sake of heating, which would mean if it's very cold, can I ask a non-Jew? This is even a yochid, even a yochid because of a chalash ein b'tzakona. Halachu chalash ein b'tzakona. Now, the air conditioning in that situation, where it's very cold, we're talking about putting heating on. So, again, that would be permitted. What you're really asking me is the other way around. Where it's a very hot day, and you want now. There is a debate among the poskim whether it's equally true to say hakol choylim etzel hakoyim, just like we say hakol choylim etzel hakoyim. Some poskim will allow it. Certainly, if you have a particular individual who is very sensitive to the heat and he's going to pass out, and he really is like a choylish embes hakoyim, obviously permitted to do that. And since there is it's the same activity that you will do for one person or for five people or for 10 people, then everybody else in the room is obviously allowed to benefit because there's no extra that the non-Jew is doing because there's many people in the room. So if you have a situation where there's an individual who is suffering from the heat, and for him it really is a situation of Cholesh Embes Hakona, it's permitted to ask a non-Jew to do to switch on the air conditioning to cool down the room.
51 to 50 double.
Okay. There's a tshuva of Dayan Life and a tshuva of Rambrash in Chalkas Yaakov and Dayan Life in Nifkos Yitzchok, where they categorize the turning on an air conditioning unit in the case of a heat as only an issa drabonah. Now there's a big debate among the poskim as to whether electricity is treated as an issa deraisa or not. Chazon Ish paskin that it was boyne even in those appliances where there is no filament that gets hot. Where there's a filament that gets hot, that's clear that would be mavir, that's a deraisa. But in those appliances where there is no red hot filament, then there is some poskim treat that unit as an issa drabonon, and according to them it was you'd then be able to rely on the heter of Amir al-Akum to do an issa drabonon even if you're not under the category of a Polish English Akona, but even if it is just ordinary tsar gadol, then you'd be permitted to put the air conditioning on for those in those situations. Another example of that would be, let's say you have a freezer that is full of meat and you're making a simcha for Yom Tov, and the electricity blows, the fuse blows, and you want to implement some mechanism to put it back on again, or to you have here the same situation where it is a possible issa deraisa according to some poskim that have an issa definite issa deraisa. Other poskim would treat that as only an issa drabonah. And then you've got the heter of behefsid meruba. You can ask a non-Jew to do an issa drabonah for you from mokam behefsid meruba. So that's the situation of electrical appliances. Now, we talked about a mitzvah derabim, and we talked about a cholish embes hakona. Those are the situations where I can ask a non-Jew to do an issa deraisa. Equally, in the case of a mishal derabim. So, for example, if the eruv in the town is not functional, you can ask a non-Jew to repair it, and if the repair requires him to do an issa deraisa, he may do that on Shabbos as well, because a mitzvah derabim comes under the same category as a mitzvah derabim, and you're allowed to ask a non-Jew to do an issa deraisa in those circumstances. Okay, so let's go back to the situation that we started off with, where we have our food for Shabbos on the hot plate, and the electricity has gone off, the plug has been pulled out. The question was, what am I allowed to do? Okay, so as far as the hot blade is concerned, I think all the poskim will agree that because there's a hot filament in the hot plate, that we treat that as a derisa. Switching that back on is a derisa. It's exactly the same as turning the gas on and switching the fire on. That is a havara, that is a nisa derisa. Which would mean, under normal circumstances, b'mokhe mitzvah, in Shabbos, I cannot ask a non-Jew to put the hot plate back on. If it's a case of a chayesh en b'sakona and he needs hot food, then in both circumstances I can ask the non-Jew to put it back on. However, if other people in the house would not be able to benefit, because here I have a gezeira of shema yarbe b'shviloi. So although I can put the hot plate back on for the chayesh en b'sakona, but since there's a issue of shema yarbe b'shviloi, you may do more for the case of if other people, then other people can't benefit from the food. However, we saw that you can do an issa drabonon b'mokhem the mitzvah oinig Shabbos, which would mean that we have two options here. You can either ask a non-Jew to take the food that is currently on the hot plate to my next door neighbor, because we said that going through the street, when it comes to the question of Amir al-Akum, we treat it as a karmelis, we treat it as a rashus, which is forbidden to carry midrabona. So I've got the heta of shus, the shus, the mokhem mitzvah of eining Shabbos. I'm allowed to ask the non-Jew to take the food that's currently on the hot plate, take it to my next door neighbor, and put it on his hot plate, and bring it back when we require him to, when we require the food. Second answer is, if I have anything that in my own house, which is let's say you have a breath somewhere else in your own house, or you even if you have a fire where without it being on a breath, it could be that since the food is already boiling hot and there's no problem of bishul achabishul, there's only a problem of mechzik and avashel, which is a question of shahiyah or perhaps chazara, which is again an issa drabanan. And Mishnah Berurah says that you can ask a goy to do the issa drabanan of chazara on Shabbos, and that would mean that I could then put it in my own house. Not everyone agrees that psak of the Mishnah Berurah, but that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Chazanish disagrees. So the Chazanish does not allow you to ask a goy to do chazara. So for example, if you have cold food in the fridge, not allowed to ask a goy according to the Chazanish to take out the cold kigel and put it on to a fire where there's no blech, because that's a question of chazara, and you can't ask a goy to do chazara even in these situations. But according to Mishnah Berurah, that would be permitted. If it's not directly on it, then that's permitted. Not everyone will allow you to do it, but you could certainly ask the goy to do it. So in our case, you'd be able to ask the goy to take the food which is currently on the hot plate and put it somewhere else, because that would only be an issa drabanan, and the mokhem mitzvah on Shabbos, it is permitted. Mr. Shem will carry on after Pesach with other areas of Amir al-Akum. If you have any particular questions that you'd like me to include, I'd be very happy to note them down.